Well, who is this one that we adore? We talk about this story that we show for Christmas. And by the way, if you come at Christmas and Easter, it's like no surprise. You know the two topics that we're going to talk about, you know? It's not surprising that we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. We're going to reenact this first night where a baby showed up, a baby that would change everything, a baby that we still come to hear that old story told over and over and over again. What's so special about this child? I think about some of the gifts that we've been given over our lifetimes, and especially the really important ones. How many of you, by the way, this year, you made a Christmas list? Can you raise your hands if you made a Christmas list? Maybe that's an Amazon cart, or it's actually, you know, you wrote something out. Okay, people still do that. When I was a kid, we didn't do Amazon carts. Actually, we had this thing called the Sears Wish Book. You guys remember? Or if you were really lucky, you got the Toys R Us Christmas Dream Catalog. And we would take those things, and you dog-ear the pages when you find what you really wanted. For me, it was like Transformers or Thundercats or a Rubik's Cube. I mean, very, very my generation time. We'd dog-ear the pages and you'd circle it. And then we would give that list of the things we wanted to our parents. And I would give it to my mom, like say, hey, share this with everybody. Grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, your coworkers, anyone you pass that looks rich, like, just get this list of my wants out there. And what's funny is we would always go to my grandmother's for Christmas. And whenever we'd show up at her house, you'd look under and I would see under the tree. And she was really good at wrapping, like perfect seams. The bow was just impeccable. And I always had this huge, beautifully wrapped box that when I opened it, socks and underwear. And not even the cool underwear, not like underoos that made me look like Iron Man. It was just underwear. And I'm like, Grandma, this is not what I wanted. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that she didn't intend to give me what I wanted. Real love, it sees through our wish lists, and it gives us what we need. And that's what she was always doing. She knew that behind my wish of the year, there was a deeper need that I had. It just so happened to be undergarments, but this is also true of us as humans. Sometimes what we want the most is not exactly what we need. And at Christmas, this child that we celebrate, it is God's gift to us for exactly what we need. I'm going to show you in the passage that we just had read to us. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And in the 700 years before Jesus comes, we're told about the gift that we have. It says that he's going to be a child born, but a son given. And that son will have the government on his shoulder. He'll have responsibility, and he will be able to handle the weight of that responsibility. And then it gives us this list of names or titles. He's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and then the Prince of Peace. And it says of the greatness of his government and peace, it's never going to be an end. So I want to look at these four names, these four gifts that God gives to us. And it's kind of interesting. This is like a birth announcement, except it's a little different because typically, well, first we wait till the baby's born and then we give the announcement. But we usually just have like the stats and specs, you know, like this weight, this length, born this time of day, here's a name. But when God chose to announce the birth of his son all those years before, he wanted us to understand what we were really getting. In fact, I think he wanted you tonight to understand that he gave you exactly what you needed. So the first gift that we're going to unwrap is this idea of a wonderful counselor. And whenever I say that word counselor, probably for many of you, you think of a therapist or a psychologist, which I'm super grateful for. Glad that we can talk about those, that we can access those with no shame. But that's not what Isaiah was meaning when he said counselor. In this way, a counselor is an advisor, like a strategic advisor cabinet member, someone that had wisdom and experience and that could help out a king to navigate a really complex circumstance. These advisors or counselors, they had the sum total of whatever wisdom and experience they had gotten through life. But we're told that this one is wonderful. And that doesn't just mean like, wonderful. It's great. This word wonderful, it means miraculous. It means beyond human understanding. There is an authority that is mind-blowing that comes to us from outside of us in this counselor. The first gift we have is a wonderful counselor. Now, the thing is, most of us, that's not what we circled on our wish list. What we wanted was all of the information. I don't want to have to ask somebody else. What I want and what you maybe want is like a whole plan for your life just mapped out perfectly. Clarity, crystal ball, whatever, you know, magic eight ball. You just want to know. But this counselor is maybe more like a guidance counselor. When I was in high school, I really, really wanted to be a doctor. That was like my plan for my life. I laid it out. And then I took the MCAT. And now I'm here. My plan was perfect, but I needed somebody from outside of me that could say, no, this is the path for you. In fact, that idea of someone guiding you on a path is exactly what Jesus is. When Isaiah wrote these words, there was a group of people that lived in the ancient Near East deserts. They were what we know as the Bedouins. And these folks, they helped travelers navigate the desert. Because at that time, you didn't start out on a journey through the desert and just get a map with directions. Because the desert shifts and changes. One windstorm, one cloudy night, one sandstorm, and everything that you thought you knew has gone out the window. Anybody ever felt like that with your plans and life? See, this is why what we wanted was information, and what he gave us was a guide. Those Bedouin desert navigators, they would just tell the journeyer, hey, I'm not going to tell you every turn. All I'm going to tell you is simple instructions. Stay with me. Walk behind me. I know the way. And this is the first gift that we have. God has given us a way. Maybe you're experiencing a situation that has gotten outside of your control. The world or your life has shifted in a way that you're just not sure what to do. You walk into this Christmas Eve service and you've got a big decision to make. Maybe it's about a relationship, or maybe it's about a desire that you have, career. And suddenly, you don't have enough wisdom anymore. Christ offers you wonderful counseling. The second gift that we see in this is that he's the mighty God, which is kind of weird when we're talking about a little baby laying in a manger, right? Mighty God. The word in Hebrew that Isaiah writes is El Gibor. El means mighty, powerful, supernatural power from outside. And Gibor is a warrior, like a hero. One of the gifts that we got in Jesus was exactly what we needed. What we think we want is to be powerful ourselves. When I was in high school, I've been this tall since I was 15. But I weighed about 100 pounds less. So I wanted to be strong. One year I asked for a free weight set and a workout program. That was on my list. And honestly, it didn't help much. But I wanted to be strong so badly, and I think most of us as humans, we do too. We want independence in a culture that prizes self-sufficiency, strength. We want to be able to overcome any enemy. We don't want to have to rely on someone else, right? We want strength. And yet, we've all learned, well, if you haven't learned yet, you will, that eventually you come upon an adversary that no matter how strong you are, you can't handle. Some of us, we realize we're powerless to fix our family. You've come up against an addiction that you're powerless to overcome. Many of us, we recognize that we're powerless over the grief or the fear that might have taken hold. When that happens, we don't just need to be strong. We need someone that can fight for us. It's kind of like, you know, what's better than having a boat? Having a friend that has a boat? Like, Don't worry about getting your own. Just have a good friend that you can use theirs. That's what this is. It is someone, a heroic warrior that can fight on our behalf. And every culture, too, have you ever noticed this? Every culture has these superheroes. Like, we make Marvel Avengers movies or Superman DC Comics, if you're that type, or maybe you're a Roman mythology person like Achilles. We've always built into the human spirit, we've always believed or longed for someone from out there that has superpower to do what we can't do. Do you know why that is just innate for a human? Because it's not a myth. It's an actual fact that Jesus Christ is that undisputed, undefeated champion of the world who says, I will come and fight your battle for you. One of the most popular kind of stories like this right now in culture is Stranger Things. Any Stranger Things fans, maybe? Can't say it in church, I guess. You're all cowards. But in Stranger Things, which is like set in my time, you know, the 80s, like it just feels like my life. In that storyline, there's an adversary that is way too strong for these kids. No matter how clever or whatever they plan or try, they could work out all they want and they will never be able to overcome the enemy. Instead, they have to rely on someone with otherworldly powers. You know what's crazy to me? You know what her name is? What is it? You guys know it. L. I know it stands for 11, but still they choose to call her L, like El Gabor. This is just built into our nature, is to want a mighty warrior to come and fight. And Jesus at Christmas is that. The third thing that we get is Everlasting Father, which again, kind of odd, talking about a baby, Everlasting Father, but in this sense, it's a father not in the sense of like your dad necessarily, but the person who provides what a good father does. A father in Hebrew culture would be the one to give you your sense of security and identity and belonging and even inheritance. And we're told that this gift of Christ is like a source of life everlasting for us. I mean, we live in a world that is full of father wounds. And maybe you had a great dad. I'm looking around the room and looking at some folks that I know, like, you're good dads. But I also know that, like me, you're imperfect dads. And there are moments where we should have done this and we didn't. There are moments where we gave the best we could, but it was just what we had from our upbringing or our genetics, and we fail. And every single one of us, even though what we want is independence, there are moments when you just need your dad. This everlasting father that we're told we have in him, he doesn't walk away when you disappoint him. This father never gets dementia and forgets who you are. And in fact, he doesn't die. What we have in Christ is someone that says what all good fathers do. I see the best of who you can believe. I believe in it, and I'm going to help you become that. I was thinking about when my kids were little, we would always take them when it was time to transition from the bike with training wheels to the like big girl bike. We'd take them to the beach to teach them how to ride the bike there because, you know, soft and stuff when they fall. And so we'd go down to the beach and I would give them, like a counselor, I'd give them all the instruction. Here's what you're going to do. And then we'd get them up on the bike and I knew they were scared and it seemed difficult when you're like, four, but what I didn't want was them to be 34 and not know how to ride a bike. And so, just like a good dad, I'd start them off and I'd hold the back of the bike, power they didn't have on their own, and then inevitably they would fall. And so, what did I give them when they fell? A lecture. No, just playing. I gave them what they needed, not principles or try harder. I just put dad's arms around them and said, it's okay, I'm here. You can do this. I'm with you. Some of you, that's what you need the most tonight. Is this last year has been a source of insecurity in your life? Maybe you've failed in a way that's caused you to be ashamed. There's a part of you that wonders if that dad is like your dad. Or maybe your dad's gone, and this is the first year you're having to wrestle with the fact that there's no one to say in that dad voice, I'm here. Christmas means you have an everlasting Father. Jesus Christ says, let me give you this gift. And then finally, he tells us that he's the Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom in Hebrew, the one with the power and authority to give peace and to make peace. And now peace is one of those things that we search for a lot, right? We'll do just about anything to find peace. Some of you are like, peace is a spa day with aromatics and ambient music. And I hope some of you get that for Christmas. That sounds great. But that's not what real peace is. Peace is peculiar to the Hebrew mind. Peace, in this sense, is actually wholeness, completeness, fullness. It's peace is everything in every piece in the right place. It's called shalom. And Jesus, we're told, has come as the Prince to give that. Now, if you're like me and if you're honest, you look around the world and you go, well, when are you going to start? Because whether it's the world out there or your world in here, peace is elusive, isn't it? And we need more than just good vibes in a spa day. Like, that just doesn't cut it anymore. Maybe for you, it's like, can I just have 5 minutes without their little fingers under the bathroom door? You know, that would be peace. But he gives us something so much deeper that we really need. See, sometimes when we define peace, what's on our wish list, it's just a life of smooth sailing. No conflict in relationships, maybe. Just let everything be chill. But that's not life. And that's not what he gave. I was thinking just a couple of weeks ago, I was in England, and I was talking to some people in London. And I was fascinated because when I go travel there, I like to ride the tube, you know, the underground train. Like, I love using that kind of transportation. And so I was talking to some people there that had been through, their parents were in World War II. And they were telling me a story that I didn't know, maybe you know it, but during the London Blitz, whenever the Axis powers were dropping bombs on London, there were air raid sirens that would go off constantly. It was a wildly chaotic time. But during that period, people did something genius. They migrated underground and they began to live in the tube tunnels. Anybody know this story? So they get down under there. I got some pictures to show you what it might have been like. And what they found was that although the war was raging above ground, there's no denying that, they began to experience something underground that you might call peace. There were parties, concerts, people doing whatever that is. There were book clubs that were organized. People began to bring in little story times for kids and tea and chocolate. And it was an amazing thing that happened. In the middle of what was all-out chaos, they somehow found peace. This is where the keep calm and carry on idea came from. The Blitz spirit is this time period. In fact, one lady who experienced it as a child writes about it, and she says, don't imagine that it's a dreary life down below. There are card parties and lending libraries and evening papers and books. And best of all, there is undisturbed sleep. I wonder if you believe it's still possible to have that in the middle of the storm that you're in. This Prince of Peace says, one day, I will come and I will end all wars, just like that great war ended at some point. It took war to bring peace. One day, he promises, he will return, and that Prince of Peace with all his authority will put an end to all the violence, all the war, all the sin, all the sickness and suffering, despair and death. Our mighty El Gabor will come and one day put it all right. And until then, the gift that he says, I will give you tonight is peace, no matter what the storm looks like outside. Guys, this is incredible. And so many of us that are actually followers of Jesus, we kind of start that road and maybe we stop remembering, we stop living into the reality of what he says is ours. And for others of you, maybe tonight is the opportunity for you to just say, yeah, I need someone that can fight my battles. I'm tired of fighting to be good enough. I'm tired of trying to be brave enough. I'm tired of trying to be strong enough. And you've got the gift of a mighty God. Some of you need the hole that's been left by a father who's absent or who's gone, and he promises to be that. I don't know which one of these resonates with you and your situation today, but here's the good news. You don't have to choose just one. It's like a Swiss Army knife of Christmas presents. They're all in here, all of these wrapped up in one child, a son given. So when you watch these actors and animals come down, when you sing in just a couple of moments these carols that have just become like rote to you, would you allow the truth of what you've been given, what you really needed, not just what you thought you wanted, would you allow it to permeate your heart? I think about how much my grandmother must have loved me to give me socks and underwear. And I can't imagine what it's like to be loved as deeply as God in this word says he does us. I can't imagine. If I could fully take it all in, I think it might undo me. And this Christmas, I pray that it undoes you. Of course, a gift is only really a gift if you receive it. So as I pray, would you just say, God, let me receive again the gift of peace when I thought I wanted comfort. Let me receive the gift of a warrior when I thought I wanted personal power. Let me receive your counsel when I thought I wanted independence. Let me receive you as Father. Would you pray with me? Father, you looked out across all time, eternity past. You looked into this moment 2,000 years ago when it was going to be just the right time for you to do the unimaginable, for you to come. You had allowed us to experience the consequences of trying to do things our own way, not staying behind our guide, not allowing you to fight the battles on our behalf. God, you allowed us to come to the end of ourselves, and you came at just the right moment. God, for some of us tonight, we're at the end of ourselves. And we need you to be all four of these things. God, we're out. We're out of answers. We're out of strategies. We're out of energy. Some of us are out of hope. But tonight, what you promise is that just like that one first Christmas day you were born tonight, hope can be born in us again. Christmas is not just a day, it's just the beginning of life with you. And so, Father, I pray in your grace and your mercy, you would descend in hearts as we just sang, that for any would allow and make room for you, you say, I'll come in. Jesus, would you fill those deep places of need that we have? Thank you for not giving us what we wanted, but exactly what we needed, yourself. We pray all this in your beautiful name. Amen.